You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Indeed, another Saturday morning here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome in. I'm Timmy Kuska, and it is our hour to talk sports here across all of these fine Civic Media stations. So thank you for joining us here on this Saturday. It's amazing. We're sitting here in mid-April, and things couldn't be busier in the wide world of Wisconsin sports, and we're going to try to cover it all here in the next hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we are going to talk Badgers with Jake Kokorowski of BadgerObserver.com. Jake has all the info we need on all of the big changes happening at Wisconsin, including the search for a new athletic director and the potential for more volleyball from the Big Ten coming up later this year. We'll talk to him about all the goings on there, about some of the recent comments made by Badgers football coach Luke Fickell, and everything else happening in Badgerland. So we'll have that coming up for you at the bottom of the hour. Later in the show, Mike Clements will join us and talk about all things Wisconsin sports. That's assuming, of course, that he has been able to wrap his way out of Miller Park from earlier this week with all the flooding and can find his way to the radio show here this morning, as a number of people in Milwaukee impacted by 4 to 6 inches of rain on Wednesday, which closed the freeway for a while. Flooding happening all over the state. Wish you could spend a little more time talking about the real-life impacts of that. I believe our news coverage has that covered, but be safe out there if you're driving around. I know we had a bunch of rain yesterday, especially in the western part of the state. Be safe out there wherever you are. But this is a sports show. I pretend to be a meteorologist only on weekends, so I'll get back to that in a minute. But it is Make the Call, and this week, this is a two-man team. It is myself, Jimmy Kuska, based here in the Driftless region of Wisconsin, and then over in Madison is Parker Olson. Parker, welcome aboard.
Howdy, Jimmy. It is feeling a little lonely today. What the heck? We need Gray.
I know. Gray is out for today. Upper management had upper management things to do. So Gray is off this weekend. He's allowed a day off. And as a manager, he can kind of just say, yeah, I'm taking the day off, guys. It's off to you guys. You got to deal with it.
He proves
and
it
we
himself.
Just got to say, yes, boss. So
yeah. I don't know how we got roped into this with him. He's in charge of us, and he's not even here.
I know, what right? Gives? I know. And it all started with the sports director leading the sports thing. But now we got upper management. And, well, Gray's not here to defend that. So we appreciate Gray. And he'll be back here real soon with us. But this is Make the Call. And this week we've got a lot of sports topics to get to. And we start the show off, as we do every week, by talking about the top sports stories across the land. And since it is 8 a.m., we are going to do the top eight sports or not sports stories at 8 a.m. here on a Saturday here in Wisconsin. So let's start at number eight in our top eight at eight. And this is sort of sports related, also sort of weather related. As I had set up earlier in the show, I like to be an amateur meteorologist, even though mostly all I do is look at the radar, look out the window and say, looks like rain. So venue natural disasters. The Brewer's roof had some leaks in it after 5 inches of rain pounded southeastern Wisconsin, caused a lot of issues with flooding, closed roadways, etc. Same thing happening around Green Bay. Same thing happening along the Wisconsin River in central and southwestern Wisconsin. It's a lot of rain. Water's got to go somewhere. But it got me to thinking, there have been some really notable natural disasters that have happened involving sports venues in anywhere, but even here across the U.S. And I thought with the Brewer's roof leak, which isn't really a natural disaster because that's what happens when you get half a foot of rain in the span of 3 hours. I'm just wondering, Parker, if there are any natural disaster arena venue-related things that you've ever heard of or you can recall, just because it is sort of unusual for these, you know, billion-dollar structures to have weather issues.
Yeah, honestly, I was shocked that there was that much water getting into American Family Field the other day. That was really, really strange to see. Just kind of all of a sudden, you're looking at, I forget who was playing outfield, the other, center field the other night for the Brewers, but they had a shot of him, and all of a sudden there was a puddle behind him on the warning track. Like, that's not right. There's a roof above his head, but okay. I cannot really think of any like major natural disasters to affect stadiums other than, and I know that you've got a pretty good story with this, Jimmy, the Metro Dome collapsing when they had a bunch of snow up there in Minnesota, right?
17 inches of snow fell. The Metrodome, which was basically an inflated garbage bag covering a bunch of seating, and I can say that with love because I have spent a lot of time in the Metrodome, RIP, but a bunch of snow caved in the roof, and there's a live video of it that was shown, and you just see the snow just piling through, landing in the middle of the field. And then they had to delay the NFL game to Tuesday. We had a Tuesday night football game between the Vikings and the Eagles that week. So I remember as a sports director for a station that was a Vikings affiliate, having to rearrange a high school basketball game and all this other stuff so we could run a Vikings game on a Tuesday. And we had football, I think, pretty much every night that week because it was bowl season too. We had football pretty much every night that week. But I also think of, you think of like Buffalo. It seems like every year there's a game where Buffalo gets 36 inches of snow, and all of a sudden they got people out there for $10 an hour with their little plastic shovels trying to dig snow out. It happens in Green Bay once in a while, but I think of Buffalo and you get 3 feet of snow that falls in the stadium. It's crazy.
I remember, it was probably 2 or 3 years ago now, there was one like that in Cleveland. I think it was the Browns and the Steelers, and it was an absolute winter wonderland. And we've talked about this before. I'm a sucker for a snow football game. I just love it.
The best part of a snow-related football game are the warning messages that say, don't throw snowballs. Well, you know what that's going to do? It's going to make people want to throw the snowballs more. So that is poor public messaging on the part of teams when it snows. Don't throw snow, guys. Well, you know what? There's a lot of knuckleheads in those crowds, me being one of them. All right, let's move on to some sports stories. Number 7 in our top 8 and 8. Christian Yelich is gone until around Memorial Day. How much will the Brewers actually miss him, Parker?
I think that you're not getting so much going to miss his production necessarily. I think you're more going to miss the fact that it's someone else who's going to need to take over for him. I think that the Brewers have got I don't know if I should call it an identity crisis at all, but it seems like the lineup is different every night. And it's been kind of hard to figure out who's doing what. And especially DH has been kind of moving around a little bit. And now, especially obviously now with Yelich being hurt, I really, really hope that, I believe it ended up being a groin injury after they had originally said, I think that they thought it was a hamstring. Really, really hope that can get reeled in quickly because the Brewers are already dealing with injury bugs right now. Churio and Vaughn are the two guys that come to mind right away as guys that the Brewers would really like to get back right away, especially as the bats have kind of faltered a little bit after that first week or so, Jimmy.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about the Brewers and some of the concerns we have with them coming up later here in our top 8 at 8. Let's move to number 6. Let's talk some Packers. Number 6 in our top 8 at 8. So the Packers are down Romeo Doubs and now Dontayvion Wicks, who was traded to the Eagles for a couple of draft picks. So I'm just wondering, Parker, who's catching passes for the Packers next year?
Well, I would have told you last year that Matthew Golden was going to be catching a lot of passes last year, and he wasn't really doing that, partially because that wide receiver room was so crowded, but also in part because he was a rookie. Let's just be honest. You got to cut your teeth. You got to earn your reps first, right? Well, that room is a lot thinner now. So there you go. I think that Matthew Golden is going to make a pretty big step this year, getting a lot more targets and a lot more field time in general. But two, I think that you might see a lot more Tucker Kraft and I believe Luke Musgrave, maybe. Fingers crossed that he can stay healthy long enough to be able to actually be impactful for the whole year and become a good pass catcher again.
I think it also puts a lot of pressure on what they do with Christian Watson because, yes, he's had some injury issues, but all of a sudden he becomes a lot more important in that whole Packers offense. But yeah, having Tucker Kraft, having some of the other guys that can probably help balance it a bit. But man, I'm telling you, it is a little worrisome when you see your most reliable, like hands guy go, and then you trade away some of your depth. I'm sure the Packers know what they're doing. That's why they're paid the big bucks for this. But I keep seeing receivers and pass catchers leave, and edge rushers too, for that matter. Yeah. And it's going to lead me into a question I have on what the Packers do in the NFL draft later in our top 8 at 8. We're going to move up to number 5 in our top 8 at 8. It is a big, big week with UW, and we're going to have Jay Kokorowski to explain all of this more to us, but we got to talk a little bit about it. I want to do this from the Big Ten perspective, though, for this question. Number 5 in the top 8 at 8. So the Big Ten has hired Chris McIntosh in a advisor/consultant type role. They also now, as of a couple days ago, announced plans that they are adding a conference volleyball tournament. Do you think these are good moves, Parker?
I have absolutely zero opinion on whether or not McIntosh is going to be helpful. I have no idea how administration of a conference works, so I'll be totally upfront with you there, Jimmy. As for the volleyball tournament, I think that this is a really good thing, especially because you're seeing such a good, so much progress for women's sports in general, especially in Wisconsin, I think. But the Big Ten, I think, is going to try to really put more eyes on volleyball. And volleyball has kind of been in the spotlight of that women's sports, I don't want to say revolution, but uprising maybe is kind of the best way to put it, because they have grown in so much popularity. If you follow the Big Ten at all, or if you follow volleyball at all, college volleyball, that is, you would know that the Big Ten is very, very, very good at volleyball. So you could see some pretty high-level matchups that generally you would probably not see until like Elite Eight, Sweet 16 of the national tournament. That could be happening in the Big Ten tournament. That's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
I have two issues with this. One, it's a cash grab. They're just making money on this. They're just printing money with this. That's all they're doing. That's fine. It's what college sports is now. College sports is apparently a mint, so that's fine. But my other big issue is competitively, because now the Big Ten, which puts all these teams in the Final Four every year, now they got to play additional high-level matches on top of having to play the NCAA tournament and the regular season against each other. I know that for the fans, that's awesome. You get more high-level matches, but I just think competitively, Wisconsin and Nebraska might have to face each other four times in a year, right? I mean, that's great. I mean, from a fan perspective, but can you imagine from a player and coach perspective, where you got to go to war, you know, basically half your schedule, you're just in a full-on street brawl. I think that, you know, I think that the competitors will say, yeah, let's do it. Let's just play the good teams all the time. But boy, I don't know, man. That's a lot. That's a lot of high level competition at the back end of your schedule, especially if you're coming off November matches against the top dogs in the Big Ten of the world, and then having to go right into a conference tournament and then right into an NCAA tournament. It just feels like that's months of pressure. But you know what? It's college sports, and you know,
what are you gonna
do? That as a competitor, you're going to be all in. We are up to number four in our top 8 and 8. Somehow we are just not making pace here today, Parker. We have a lot to say, just the two of us. We'll have a few on the other side of the commercial break, I think. But I think we're gonna end the first segment with this. The Milwaukee Bucks, Doc Rivers is out. There's a lot of questions, but there's really only one question to me: where do the Bucks go from here? And the number one thing they got to resolve, Parker, I believe, is what they're going to do with Giannis, if they're going to keep him or if they're going to trade him.
Honestly, I think the first step before getting to that Giannis conversation is going to be the head coaching market. They need to find a head coach, because that is probably a really vital piece of whether or not they get to keep Giannis. I don't really know.
But if they hire someone
for
the Giannis thing and then they end up, that's the thing, is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you're almost putting the cart before the horse, because then, what if you do trade Giannis? Well, now you've got a head coach who came in expecting to coach a superstar, but now he's just got a bunch of spot-up shooters and, you know, a couple of guys off the waiver wire.
That is a very good point, but I honestly think if I'm the Bucks, I'm trying to hang on to Giannis for just one more try, and if I can do anything in my power to try to keep him around for just that little bit longer, I think that's what I'm going to try to do. And if you've got a coach that can kind of cater to Giannis a little bit here for the, I'm going to say, the first couple of months of the next NBA season, I think it's worth trying.
I'm just worried that in that case, the Bucks get nothing for Giannis when he leaves.
Sure.
They try to keep him for a year, because getting him for half a season rental, I don't think you're getting a whole lot back in draft capital or anything like that. But that being said, the Bucks have a big question to answer. It is a Giannis question, I think, before anything else. Coaching, obviously important, but I feel like it just all starts and ends with Giannis, not just for the Bucks, but pretty much for the entire NBA. Well, we still have three to go in the top 8 and 8, Parker, so we better be quiet and get into our quick break here. On the other side, we got a few important questions to ask about the Badgers, the Brewers, and the Packers. We're going to do that coming up right after this on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back. Jimmy Cuska, Parker Olson back with you on Make the Call as we move on along in our top 8 and 8. We're at number 3, and number 3 in the top 8 and 8 is: should the Badgers hire somebody outside of that Wisconsin infrastructure for the AD role? And I ask this because Barry Alvarez was promoted from head coach to AD. They bring in Chris McIntosh, who's a former Badger businessman who came in, was the AD for 5 years. Now the Badgers and University of Wisconsin are in a very interesting position in the wide world of NIL and everything happening in college sports. Do they need to go outside of Wisconsin to bring somebody in to give them a direction forward in the NIL era?
Usually I'm a really big fan of promoting from within. I think that that is kind of the route that I default to, especially for coaching decisions. I think that it's really important to have somebody at the head of your program, especially in a place like Wisconsin, which particularly for football has got pretty traditional ways of going about how they play the game. I think that for football, they need to hire from within. We're talking AD, though. You're right, Jimmy. It is such a strange world of college sports now. It has evolved so much. And frankly, that brand that Wisconsin sports is broadly, I don't think meshes incredibly well with the NIL world that we live in now. I kind of think that they need to hire somebody from outside. They've got to find somebody who's going to be able to fundraise, frankly, be able to bring in NIL money, be able to work with alumni and start creating collectives, more collectives, rather. I think there already is a varsity collective that helps out a little bit. But they do, I think, pretty clearly need to make an effort at finding the right person who has those outside experiences and really, really knows, I hate to say it, how to run a business. I don't like that college sports is a business, but it is.
Well, the person that's interim at AD right now is Marcus Sedbury, who's a business guy. He was a COO. He managed a football program for a bit. Now he's got a $203 million athletics budget to oversee. And I know that the onus is on football and what they want to do with football specifically, but he also has said he's not rocking the boat right now. It's an interim role and they got to move things forward to they do their national search. I'm with you though. I really do feel like they need to bring in someone who's more business than sports at this point. A la a commissioner for a mm-hmm. professional sports league, just because in this era, the Badgers, a lot of the big concern is, can they compete in the NIL era? I think having somebody who knows their way around business would probably help that, especially in driving in some revenue outside of the taxpayers now putting $15 million for UW Athletics, which that's a whole other discussion for another day. Probably more of a political topic than a sports topic, but they did on his way up, McIntosh did secure some financial deals to help, at least with him departing, give them a little bit of stability on the way out. By the way, we'll talk more about the Badgers coming up with Jake Kokorowski here in about 10 minutes from now. We'll move up to number two in the top eight at eight. The Brewers, well, they had a good start to the year. They were 8-2, but then all of a sudden earlier this week, they were at 500 again. They came back a little bit in the middle of the week with all the rain and everything, but there's some concerns right now, I think, with the Brewers, right? Right, Parker? I think there's some concerns right now going on with them.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think there's some concerns. Yeah. Do you feel concerned, Jimmy? I feel concerned.
I don't know. I know last year they started out so poorly, and then they were just hot the rest of the year. This year, they had a good start, and then all of a sudden, there was a week where nothing could go right for them. And I'm just looking, and I'm like, well, I had said last week, and you guys, you and Gray were kind of side-eyeing me a little bit when I was like, well, I don't know where they're going to get the pitching help from. With all the injuries, another guy goes down, where are they going to find the help from? And well, now they're getting hurt. And maybe I'm feeling a little smarter about that, but at the same time, I feel like they usually have the answer to this. And right now, it's 3 weeks into the season, but it just feels like what do they do? I mean, they were 500 again earlier this week.
Largely, I think the pitching is okay. Frankly, what's frustrated me most has been the bats. There have been a pretty good handful of games where they've not given up a whole lot of runs, and you've kind of just looked down and gone, how are we losing a game when we've given up two runs right now? Like, that should not be enough to beat you. And frankly, it looks like until about the eighth inning, a lot of the times, that's going to be enough to beat the Brewers right now. It's really, I hate to say that, it's really frustrating, but it's just really frustrating to watch right now. I hope that they can figure things out, because I don't want to have a summer where I don't particularly want to watch baseball. I want to watch this team, and I'm hoping that they can get a little healthier here, both pitching staff and bats that we talked about earlier with Vaughn and Churio and now Yelich as well. Hopefully we get those guys back.
We got to finish up our segment in the top eight at eight. Number one in the top eight at eight, the NFL draft is going to be here next week, and we'll have a chance to recap at least the first couple of picks for the Packers when we align here next Saturday. But the Packers don't pick until the second round this year. I'm curious here in the last couple of minutes of the segment, is there any position or any area that you want to see the Packers address in the draft?
I mean, we've talked about wide receiver already today. I think that they're probably going to be okay, but they definitely could always benefit from another little bit of depth, right? I could see them taking a wide receiver. Knowing the Packers, that will not happen in the first round, probably not in the second round either. Actually, don't come to think of it, I'm not 100% sure that the Packers have a pick in the first round even, unless there's been some trades.
No, there's no first-round pick. No, they don't pick till the second.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting because you look at all the pre-draft process and who are the guys they're bringing in. They're not bringing in receivers. They're not bringing in cornerbacks. They're bringing in defensive linemen, guys named Truck and Fridge and all this other stuff, you know.
The big fellas.
I just think of the Key and Peele sketch, you know, Fudge. That's the guy they're bringing in. Fudge is the guy they're bringing in right now for the pre-draft process. This feels meat and potatoes to me. I said that last week and Gray seemed to agree with me, and he knows the Packers pretty well. It just feels like they're going to be working up front on offensive and defensive line here.
That's a very Packers approach, right? I think I can sum up pretty much NFL draft with that statement right there about the Packers.
And you know, and I was going to say, like, the over under on trades, I feel like they'll probably make a trade or two. They just picked up a fourth round pick in the Wicks trade. So they've got that. They've got another pick next year with that as well. They have an extra seventh round pick, I think, this year. So yeah, a little bit of draft capital if they need to move up a little bit. But I don't see them making a move to the first round or anything, especially because they also don't have a first round pick next year because they traded for Micah Parsons, you know. So be interesting. But I'm excited to hear whoever is announcing that fifth round pick for the Packers. And it's just Fudge. That's going to be the Packers pick. All right, we're going to talk Packers in the next segment when we're not goofing around here on a Saturday morning. Jake Kokorowski is going to get to the business about the Badgers and the big search for AD, as well as maybe some notes on volleyball, spring football, and more. That's next here on Make the Call on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Jimmy Cuska, and during that last break, discovered that I do not have the ability to wield technology from where I'm at. Windows Update has erased my ability somehow to record anything on my own computer. So, unfortunately, I'm not able to bring you the interview with Jake Kokorowski today. We will try again with him next week. But there was a bunch of big news this week in Badgerland, and whether it was men's hockey as the runner-up in the nation and falling to Denver in the national championship, the women's basketball team getting a five-star recruit this week, Badgers football in spring football mode with all their practices going on right now. There's a lot happening in Madison. It'd be great to get all the thoughts from Jake Kokorowski right here, but you can get his thoughts at BadgerObserver.com. Badger Observer is where you can find his work. Jake is a gracious guest, and I actually just talked to him before this segment and said, man, I can't figure out how to make this happen. The latest update somehow messed up my whole video or audio card with no ability to record remotely. So I'm going to figure that out for next week. For this week, instead of Jake, I'm going to bring you some audio in this segment. Going to bring you some audio from right after the news broke this week when Chris McIntosh decided that he was taking a job with the Big Ten and that he would be heading to be a part of that as a consultant in a big advisory role, a big spot for Chris McIntosh for sure. So for Wisconsin, it means Marcus Sedbury is the new AD for the moment while they conduct a national search. And it means for the time being that the Badgers will be operating without the next AD already assigned. But for football, it is springtime. It means that the roster is set. It's time to get ready for the fall, and spring practice is about to wrap up. In fact, today, if you're listening on Saturday, is one of the last practices, and it's one of the practices that is open to the high school coaches, the Wisconsin High School Football Coaches Association clinic happening in Madison this weekend, and you'll see a number of high school coaches making their way to that. I was one of them. I was there yesterday, in fact, taking in all the sights and sounds and meeting with other coaches and both high school and college, and trying to learn a little bit about how to coach this high school football thing. But not the point of this segment. Point of this segment is we're talking about the Badgers and specifically about what's going to happen now that the Badgers are going to be looking for a new athletic director. And that was the question asked of Badgers football coach Luke Fickell. What was his reaction to finding out that Chris McIntosh would be leaving Wisconsin and going to the Big Ten?
Not easy to lose a friend, right? I mean, we've all been through it in the past. And so that's the difficult thing. That's the guy that, you know, you could visit with and sit down with. And not that I can't do that with Marcus and, you know, even some of the coaches on our staff. But anytime that there's things like that that are changes that people you know were in your corner, it's always a little difficult. So disappointing, whatever you want to say, but, you know, it's so is life.
Following one of the spring practices this week, Coach Fickell was asked about what is next now for the Badgers program with a new athletic director heading into the program?
Nothing right now. I mean, it's in a point. The biggest thing for us right now is, you know, obviously Marcus Sedbury and what he has to be able to do in his role. So there's some decisions, to be honest with you, that we're just going to have to make moving forward as to, hey, what direction are we going to be able to go in that based on, you know, what they're going to do and what he's going to do. So other than that, I think it's a, selfishly speaking, it's a decent time for us that we're locked in through all the recruiting and portal stuff for this season. Now, obviously, the following year, recruiting never stops. But at least we're in a good place where, hey, it's a focus on spring football. It's a focus on all these new guys and the guys that have been here developing this team and this camaraderie and how we can do things together. And so some of the external things at this point in time, it's kind of nice. It doesn't have a great effect on us on a daily basis.
When you're talking about GM, his GM role here and potentially, you think about bringing somebody else in?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to see what the whole timeline and what's going to happen, you know, but we got to be prepared. That's the thing. As we all know, you know, when you're in athletics, things don't wait. And every day there's an accelerated process in the athletic world that, you know, maybe doesn't exist in everybody else's world. And so we have to have a plan. We have to be prepared. And we got to be ready to be able to move based on what happens, and, you know, probably by the end of the spring ball.
And Fickell was asked about what Badgers football specifically can do to help in the transition from Chris McIntosh to the interim AD Marcus Sedbury to whoever will be named the permanent AD. And here's what Fickell had to say about that.
I think the easiest thing for us right now is to understand, like, you got to win. Like, it's we're not beating around the bush. We're not changing anything. And I think that was probably the, you know, as Mac and I sat and we talked about, like, I don't know it's any different, right? Yes, the relationship, yes, having a guy, if you know him really well and you could sit down and be friends with, but we all understand this is big boy ball and this is a big business, and it comes down to doing your job and doing it really well. And so there's many different ways of doing it. You know, I can't say I've been a head coach for 35 years, and in the spots where I've been, there's been different relationships with each AD, and I think each one of them are unique. And so however it goes and whatever it is, you know, what helps the relationship best of all is having success on the field and having a good product. And so I don't think that's going to change.
So that, again, some of the sound from Luke Fickell earlier this week at Badgers spring practices, talking about the loss of AD Chris McIntosh to the Big Ten. Again, as I promised, we were going to have Jay Kokorowski in this segment, but being the non-technical guy I am with this computer on a short notice here on a Saturday morning, can't figure out how to get it to record. So I will have Jake come back next week when I've sorted this thing out and have more time to look at it. But in the meantime, you can find all the coverage of spring ball, as well as Badgers volleyball and what they're doing, as well as, of course, the news on Chris McIntosh leaving as athletic director. All of that can be found right now at BadgerObserver.com. Again, Badger Observer, that's Jake Kokorowski doing all the work there. Make sure you follow him, too, on social media, at Jake, K-O-C-O, Jake Coco on Twitter. Well, with that, since I don't have Jake to ask a bunch of questions to about the Badgers, I do want to bring you this. This week also was the Packers tailgate tour. They take the big bus all around the state. I remember when they brought them to where my mom works in Chippewa Falls a few years ago, and my mom got to meet some of the Green Bay Packers, including one of her all-time favorites, Gilbert Brown. So it's a pretty cool thing they do. They bring Packers alums around the state, some current Packers, some members of the front office go around Wisconsin and get to meet fans. This year's tour taking them to southern Wisconsin, a bit of eastern Iowa, and over to eastern Wisconsin as well. And our own Mike Clemens got to take part of the tour, and he had a chance to talk to one of the alums of the bus, James Jones, former Packer. And here is Mike Clemens talking to James Jones during the Packers tailgate tour this past week.
With Packers wide receiver James Jones. You know, there was a time when they had this thing called FanFest in the atrium. like your first or second year. And then they called you up into the atrium or up into the ballroom, and you did a Q&A with the fans, and they asked me to MC it. And one of the people, fans, stand up and asked you, JJ, who's got the better fastball? Who throws the ball harder, Brett or Aaron? And you said Aaron Rodgers.
I said it's, I said it's not even close. And it's Aaron Rodgers.
See, because, you know, for years, Robert Ferguson, those guys talked about their broken fingers, but.
So I was able to play with both of them. And obviously, you know, I played with Brett in his later years. Catching the ball from him and Aaron, it's night and day, man. You know, and I'm not saying Brett, obviously Brett is a Hall of Famer. I love Brett too. Brett's arm was live as well, but Aaron is on a different planet, man. You know, I tell people all the time, man, I wish he would have got to more Super Bowls and won more Super Bowls, because Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback to ever throw a football. You know what I'm saying? And I don't care about seven Super Bowls, Tom Brady. The guy, the greatest person to ever throw a football, in my humble opinion, is Aaron Rodgers, man. But the spin and the sting on it, the difference between him and Brett, you can feel it.
I think it was 07. You're out there catching everything thrown at you during the, you know, mini camp, during training camp. Brett got called away. There was a death in the family, and he came back. And the first thing he did is he went back to the film room late at night because he wanted to keep looking at your tape. He couldn't believe the way that he's like, man, I got something here. Do you remember that bond building early that year?
I do, man, and it's crazy because I remember our bond building. And a lot of times he threw me the ball, I ran the wrong route. But I still was making the play. So he was like, oh, shoot, like this young fella is making tough catches. He can make the play. Even though he's running the wrong route, like I see the potential. So then he just started like helping me with the playbook and how he wanted certain stuff ran and all that. And we started building that chemistry, man, and we ended up having a good year. And we really clicked too, especially, you know, at the end of the year we started clicking a whole lot more too. But he seen the ability that I had to go up and make the tough catch, you know what I mean, kind of the same way Aaron Rodgers did when he took over the job, and he just was giving me some opportunities.
With James Jones, does a great job as an analyst on the Packers Radio Network on the pregame show with Dennis Krause. So let me ask you, you're Jordan Love, and you go online and you see, what? Dobbs just went to the Patriots. Well, we traded Wicks to the Eagles. What do you think's going through his mind right now?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he had an idea that we weren't going to be able to keep both, obviously. You know what I mean? Even when the season ended. So, obviously, Romeo Doubs got a nice chunk of money from the Patriots. I hated to see Wicks go, though, because Wicks was one of those guys that did all the dirty work in the run game, was a really good route runner. You know what I mean? I felt like we haven't seen his true potential yet. So, if I'm Jordan Love, I'm kind of, you know, sad. I wouldn't say upset. I'm kind of sad that we lost two really good playmakers, but to be honest with you, man, when you look around at what we have offensively, you got Kraft coming back. You're going to have Watson. You're going to have Jaden Reed. You obviously got the young phenom receiver in Golden that I think is going to be really good. So you still have a lot of playmakers out there that you could depend on to make plays. But I was a little sad when I seen it. So I know them being his brothers, he had to be a little sad.
You know what I think of too, James, is as long as I've been covering this team, James Lofton, Sterling Sharp, they're now both in the Hall of Fame. Robert Brooks, Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Randall Cobb, who's here on the tailgate tour with you. I mean, this team has always done a great job of putting a great number one, number two receiver on the field, and you're part of that club.
Absolutely. And then not only that, though, I think the quarterback matters a lot. You know what I mean? Like Aaron Rodgers and having Brett Favre, you know what I mean? Like, as a receiver, you're always open. You know what I mean? And, yes, we have the ability, and I think I could go play with any quarterback. I went and played with Derek Carr and, you know, had a lot of success. Not saying that. But just playing with a good quarterback, man, they can bring the best out you too, man. And I think you've seen that as we went on the years. We were really good players, you know. But when you combine really good players with really good quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying, you're going to get some really good receiver play. And then you're not going to be able to keep all of them.
James, I have followed the tailgate tour a couple of times. There will be some amazing stories you'll see this week with agencies that you guys, you know, Ed Policy is going to be handing out one of them big checks.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them you'll be saving for the week.
Yeah.
That's good work. Besides that, and meeting fans, and you get to talk to guys like, you know, Adrian Cooper about being a Packer, right?
Yeah, man, it's good to just ride on the bus with some of them young fellas, and, you know, we're sharing stories and you know, just talking to them, you know, just about, you know, our past experiences and all that stuff, and, you know, just trying to teach them and they picking our brain, you know, that's always good. It's always good to be around the fans and be able to mingle with the fans because we know how much, you know, the Green Bay Packers and us as players mean to them. So that's always good. And especially it being for a good cause, you know, it's phenomenal. And that's what we all here for. But, you know, it's crazy. I was sitting on the bus and I was talking to Coop and I'm just like, me and Randall were talking and we like, dang, man, we missed out on so many opportunities to get to the Super Bowl. And we kept on saying, we're young, we have time. And I said, you know what, man, I want to stop saying you have time, Coop, because you don't. You know what I'm saying? Because if you think you have time, you're already going into year three. So if your year three is here that fast, you know how quick your year nine is going to be here? You know what I mean? So, like, I don't want to tell you got time. Like, the time is now to get it done because you're not always going to have good football teams the way you have. You're going to have football teams that battle injuries that, you know, you may not be able to, you know, put a good product out there on the field. So when you have a chance to go win it, man, you got to go win it. So it's just some good conversations with the young fellas.
You've got some Packer fans waiting for you. James Jones, thanks for your time, pal.
No problem. Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
So that again, James Jones with our own Mike Clemens at the Packers tailgate tour. We're going to hear more from Mike Clemens coming up in our next segment as he'll get us a rundown on all things sports. And we'll do that coming up next. This is Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
We're back here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. We are near the end of the show. Mike Clemens is standing by to give us an update on all things Wisconsin sports. And this is the part where I get to ask Parker, Parker, anything on your mind in sports that we didn't cover today? What are your final thoughts on sports?
My final thoughts on sports. You know, Jimmy, the sun is out finally after all that rain and the temperatures are sort of starting to move up. I am thinking about going to the ballpark. I got to go to a game on Sunday last week and it was very, very nice. I love being in the ballpark. Everything about being in a baseball stadium just makes me happy. And I've got a lot of that ahead of me this summer, so I'm really looking forward to getting back out and working cameras for the Mallards this year, who are, by the way, releasing some pretty cool alternate identities. Check that out if you can. But I really just would love to be outside and doing stuff with baseball. That's all I'm thinking about right now, Jimmy. What do you got in your mind?
Temperatures are going up, bud, but I'm looking at here my football forecast for today. Wind chills at 36 today football. Not enjoying that. Yeah. But I'm with you on the ballpark. AmFam Field now has that new splash zone from earlier this week. So, you know, you got that going for you. My final sports thought, I'm such a geek about the NFL draft. I love seeing where college guys go into the NFL. But the luster has worn a little bit on the draft for me because a lot of the draft picks are coming from the same like four places now with the NIL era. The colleges have really loaded up on the major college level. So not getting to see a guy from like Slippery Rock go in the fifth round of the NFL draft or UW-Whitewater or something like that. That to me brings it down a little bit, but I still enjoy the process. And that's happening this week with the Packers. Inevitably, between now and the time we're on the air again, draft a guy named Fudge to be their new starting left guard. That's it for Make the Call this week. Thank you, Parker. We are going to turn it over to Mike Clemens now for a quick look at all things sports here in Wisconsin. This has been Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The crew slips past the Marlins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and the Marlins went into extra innings last night. Milwaukee coming out on top 7-5, thanks in part to an RBI double from Garrett Mitchell in the top of the 10th. Brewers TV, Brian Anderson with the call.
Mitchell, fly ball in left field, slicing. It is down into the corner it goes. One run is in. Two runs are in. Renjifo stops at third. Garrett Mitchell delivers big time.
And it was the major league debut for Brewers right-handed pitcher Coleman Crow, who had Tommy John surgery as a prospect 2 years ago. Crow did allow 2 runs on 4 hits, but he struck out 4 batters in 5 1/3 innings. Brewers manager Pat Murphy on how Crow did against a Marlins team that's been tough for them to beat when they play in Miami.
And I thought Coleman went out and just, he was tremendous in his first outing. He didn't miss too many spots. I want him to understand he can pitch here. I mean, he can pitch in the big leagues. You know, you come to this environment against that lineup as good as they're playing, it's pretty good. You know, poise, and he's not afraid to throw to the edges. He's not afraid. Counts don't really matter to him. He just makes pitches, you know.
So after a 6-game losing streak, the Brewers have now won 3 in a row. Game 2 of the 3-game series is at 3:10 this afternoon at Lone Depot Park in Miami. The Marlins right-hander, Sandy Alcantara, against the Brewers' Brandon Woodruff, who earlier in the week was asked about his level of concern of losing 6 games in a row.
You know, we've been a club that has won a lot of ball games over the last few years, and it's still early. I mean, it's so early, and it's just one of those things. You know, as a team and as a ball club, you'll go through these ups and downs, and just couldn't hang on. So that's, you know, that's part of the game. Just have to clean up a few things and keep giving ourselves chances, and that's the main thing.
NBA. Last week, we told you after a frustrating season, Doc Rivers would be stepping down as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's 64 years old, headed to the Basketball Hall of Fame ceremonies to be inducted this summer. That'll be in August. Doc Rivers says he met with the Bucks ownership in the beginning of March to talk about his future plans.
Yeah. I mean, we met about, you know, I want to say 7 weeks ago, and we had a great meeting. They asked me what I wanted to do. One of the owners says, you know, one plan is if we do this, you can hang in there for a year or two. And I literally said, oh, no.
Right.
No, I was a matter of fact. I told my coaches, like, I'm done. I love coaching. Loved it. I had a lot of success at it. I had some way more ups than downs. But at the end of the day, I've given 40 years, 47 years or whatever. I don't even know how old I am. Straight. Like, with no off time. And I just wanted a break.
Rivers says it's hard for the Bucks to trade Giannis because they won a title together.
The Bucks front office has done an amazing job overall, like to win a title and to get there. They're good people. And then you have Giannis, who I'm telling you is a good person. And they're both over all the stuff. And I don't think Giannis knows if he wants to stay or not. And I don't know if the organization knows one way or not either. And it's too bad because I just hope that part is figured out. When you win a title with someone, it's like a blood transfusion, and that transfusion shouldn't be broken. And that part is the one that I want them to figure out. So it's tough.
A big change this week in Madison. Chris McIntosh deciding to resign as the athletic director of the Wisconsin Badgers. He's taking on a new job with the Big Ten Conference. His assistant, Marcus Sedbury, has been named the interim AD. The Badgers head football coach Luke Fickle says that McIntosh informed him of the decision about 10 days ago.
You know, as Mac and I sat and we talked about it, like, yes, the relationship, yes, having a guy, if you know him really well and you could sit down and be friends with, but we all understand this is big boy ball and this is a big business, and it comes down to doing your job and doing it really well. And so, you know, what helps the relationship best of all is having success on the field and having a good product.
NFL, the Packers getting ready for the draft this week. Coverage begins Thursday night. The Packers wrapping up their week-long tailgate tour of Wisconsin, meeting fans and making donations to charities around the state. I talked with former Packers wide receivers Randall Cobb and James Jones. Jones says he and Cobb spoke to the current players that were on the tour, including safety Evan Williams and linebacker Edgerrin Cooper.
You know, it's crazy. I was sitting in on the bus and I was talking to Coop, and I'm just like, me and Randall were talking, and we're like, dang, man, we missed out on so many opportunities to get to the Super Bowl. And we kept on saying, we're young, we have time. And I said, you know what, man, I want to stop saying you have time, Coop, because you don't. You're already going in year 3.
That's former Packer James Jones with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.